Praise God. Once again, good morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles, kindly turn with me to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. Reading only two verses, and they are verse 13 and 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. It is also on our screen. So I just would like to encourage you to bring your Bibles to the church as we come to church. 2 Chronicles 12, 13 to 14. Let's read. Thus King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. Now Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And verse 14, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Father, today we just want to come to you. Speak to us, Lord. Warn us and encourage us. Change our hearts, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of us are people of preparation. That means we always prepare. We prepare for our careers by going to college. Am I right? We prepare for class by writing papers and completing our assignments. We prepare for the next work week or even school week by washing and ironing our clothes. And we even prepare for retirement. We prepare for a lot of things. But do we prepare our hearts? 2 Chronicles 12, 13 to 14 is speaking of Rehoboam, the king of Israel, who was the grandson of David. Rehoboam inherited the throne when he was 41 years old at the death of his father Solomon. Who is Rehoboam actually? The first king of Israel was King Saul. And the kingdom was removed from him and given to King David. And after King David, the kingdom was transferred to his son Solomon. Solomon became the wisest king that ever lived. And after Solomon reigned, he passed the kingdom to his son Rehoboam. But Rehoboam made a mistake. And therefore, during the time of Rehoboam, the kingdom of Israel was divided into two. Divided into northern kingdom, and the capital was Samaria. And the southern kingdom, the capital was Jerusalem. And half of the kingdom of Israel was given to another man named Jeroboam. So this man is Rehoboam, the king of the southern kingdom of Jerusalem, and the other guy is King Jeroboam. In the beginning of Rehoboam's reign, his heart was sensitive to the Lord. However, his commitment to seek the Lord only lasted for 3 years of the 17 years of his reign, which is found in 2 Chronicles 11, 17. This sounds familiar. This sounds familiar to me. I have served God for a number of years, and I have known many people who genuinely loved the Lord at one time, and they were excited about the things of God. Yet they grew cold and in many cases completely abandoned the Lord and the things that were once so dear to them. Some of them had already died. Some of them, I can still see them around, but they are no more in the Lord. Some of them were my friends. Some of them, I know them personally. They were so on fire for God, but they left. How can that be? How can this be? If this thing can happen to them, this thing may happen to us. But how can this be? How does this happen? It's because they did not prepare their hearts to seek the Lord. Rehoboam did evil because he did not prepare his heart to serve the Lord or to seek the Lord. This morning, I would like to share on preparing the heart. And the title of my sermon today is The Prepared Heart. And I want to tell you three things about the prepared heart. It is a fixed heart, it is a following heart, and it is a focused heart. Relatively, few people are determined to do evil. If I ask you this morning, do you plan to do evil? You would certainly say no. Because nobody really plans to do evil. Or maybe only some people plan to do evil, but mostly they don't plan to do evil. We don't wake up in the morning seeking ways to violate the Word of God. Rather, we fall into sin because we have not prepared our hearts to seek the Lord. Not because we plan for evil, but because we failed to seek the Lord. The word prepare means establish. It means fix or apply. It conveys the idea of deliberate effort over a prolonged period of time. So preparing means a deliberate effort. When you prepare, it takes time. Not just one time. Just like when you are about to take the board exam. How do you prepare? You prepare for 6 months, you prepare for 1 year before you take the board exam. If you only prepare yesterday and today you take the exam, I don't know if you will pass. Preparation takes time. The same Hebrew word that was translated prepare was also translated as fix 4 times in the Old Testament. And all these words were spoken by David. So, the prepared heart, number one, is a fixed heart. Rehoboam did not fix his heart. When you read the previous verses, you will see him going first toward God, then toward idols, and then back again toward God. Rehoboam was always ready to shift and change. He is not a fixed person. He keeps on changing. According to the dictionary, the word fixed is defined as firmly in position or stationary, not subject to change or variation, or firmly attached or securely fastened. David used the word fix twice in Psalms 57:7. Psalms 57:7, if you know, is a psalm he wrote about the time when he was hiding in a cave and that Saul, the king, was trying to kill him. And King Saul also came into that cave where David was. And during the time David wrote this psalm, he said, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." Because during the time, David's men tried to get him to kill Saul and seize the throne which was rightfully his. David was already anointed as king. And his men told him, "Kill Saul now. Kill him now." But David wouldn't do it. Why? Wasn't Saul trying to kill him? Wouldn't it have been considered self-defense? No one would blame him if he killed Saul. He could have gotten away with it and saved years of frustration and pain in his own life. David experienced frustration and pain because of King Saul. It was his time to kill him because he was already anointed as king. But David had already fixed in his heart that he would not take the kingdom by killing Saul. If David had not already fixed his heart on what he would and would not do, he would have succumbed to the pressure of that moment. But he had already fixed his heart against taking Saul's life. He said, I will not. My heart is fixed. I will not kill God's anointed. One of the keys to preparing our hearts is to fix our hearts on what we will and will not do before we encounter the temptation. Don't wait for the temptation to come and make a decision. Before a temptation comes, make a decision not to be tempted. David had already settled what he would do so that there were no options left when the temptation came. Many of us are tempted because we don't decide ahead. Some drunkards keep on drinking because they don't decide ahead. Before coming off from the work, they have to pass some friends who were his barkadas before. And because coming off from work, he did not say, I have fixed my heart not to drink with them again. So when he passed by, he was invited. Just one shot, pare. And one shot became two shots. And two shots became one bottle. And one bottle became one case. And he went home drunk because he did not fix his heart to avoid temptation. Far too often, Christians have not made strong commitments. And therefore, we give in to temptation. Of course, no one can accomplish preparing their heart on their own. Because preparing the heart is not a matter of sheer willpower. God must be involved in preparing our hearts. When preparing your heart, number one, trust God to strengthen you. It was not easy for David to stop himself, but he asked God to strengthen him. He said in Psalms 10:17, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Only when we trust in the Lord and depend on Him can we find the strength to keep our hearts fixed and prepared to resist temptation. And humility is an essential ingredient in the preparation of our hearts. Proverbs 16:18 tells us, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. You know, anytime anyone falls from their steadfast position in the Lord, it is because they stopped humbly depending on the Lord. When we start depending on our willpower and on what we can do, we are doomed to failure. Humility. Once humility is lost, we will fall. A humble heart is a soft, sensitive heart. So when you prepare your heart, you have to trust God to strengthen you. Because many times what you will face will not be easy. And when you prepare your heart, secondly, remember God's faithfulness. That is part of preparing our hearts. When we prepare our hearts to come to church on Sunday, we remember God's faithfulness. Why many of us cannot come to church on Sunday? Because we forgot God's faithfulness. Remember God's faithfulness. Our imaginations and our memories also play an important role in preparing our hearts. How do we remember God? Whatever we remember about God, that plays an important role in preparing our hearts. David said in 1 Chronicles 29:18, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their hearts unto thee. Keeping God in our imaginations, keeping God in our memories is very important. Keeping God's faithfulness. David is talking about the concept of memory and the influence of imagination on what we remember. If we look at these moments in context, David had just given so much in offerings toward the building of the temple in Jerusalem. 1 Chronicles 29:4 tells us, namely, this is what David gave, namely 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the buildings. Then the elders of Israel did the same. In 1 Chronicles 29:6-7 tells us, then the leaders of families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave toward the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. It must have been an awesome experience. And David prayed that the Lord would use the memory of this event to prepare the people's heart. The proper application of memory is a vital aspect of preparing our hearts. Remembering what God has done for us is so vital in preparing our hearts. The Lord warned the children of Israel not to forget the mighty works God had performed for them, lest they turn away from following Him. That was always God's reminder and even warning for them. Do not forget what God has done. I just want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, in everything bad that happened to me, I would always remember God's goodness. Yes, there were bad things that happened to me. Things that are not comfortable to me. But I always remember God's goodness. I already fixed in my heart, just like David, that in whatever happens, I will remember God's faithfulness. I will remember God's goodness. David linked memory to the ability to stay true to the Lord. When we have good memories of God, we will stay true to the Lord. No one who is dominated with thoughts of the goodness and faithfulness of the Lord will turn their back on the Lord. Someone who turns from the Lord has allowed the devil or Satan to divert their attention from God while blocking the memories of God's goodness and faithfulness to us. If you keep your positive memories alive, you will maintain a close, intimate connection with the Lord, and your heart will be prepared to withstand any temptation. Remember God's faithfulness when you prepare your heart. Second point, the prepared heart is not just a fixed heart, a heart that is fixed, a heart that is steady, but the prepared heart is, number two, a following heart. It is a following heart. It's very important that we take time to prepare our hearts to worship God before we set foot in the sanctuary. Okay? It's very important for us to prepare our hearts before we come to church. Because many believers today, they come to church sleepy. They come to church tired. It looks like they have given God the last portion. When you are tired and you come to church, when you are sleepy, when you come to church, are you not giving Him the last portion? Our last strength? When you are about to sleep? Which is very wrong. I have set in my heart, no matter how sleepy I am, because I cannot avoid, we cannot avoid, we are tired out of the 6 or 5 days work. When we come to church, we feel tired, but I always try my best to listen, to pay attention. If possible, I will not watch TV on Saturday night. Now I don't watch TV every day. We have very big TV at home. We bought it from Pastor Lily. And she asked me, have you tried the TV now? Are you watching the TV? I said, no, Pastor, I don't know how to operate. I don't know how to operate. Frankly, before we transferred here, all of us staff and pastors, even all leaders, we were all told not to watch TV on Saturday night. Why? Why? Because on Sunday, you will fall sleepy. It's true. Some of us, we watch TV 12 hours in the night. We watch from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. What can we expect from you when you come to church at 10 a.m.? You would be sleeping. Some of you are even sleeping right in front of my nose. So it's so important to prepare our hearts to worship God before we set foot in the sanctuary. God made this clear amid the awesome circumstances of the giving of the law in Exodus chapter 19. In Exodus chapter 19, God called the people to prepare to come into His presence or near His presence. Can I ask you this morning, do we always prepare when we come to church on Sunday? Then the Lord said to Moses in Exodus 19, 10 to 11, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. God wanted the people of Israel, before they came near to Him, to get ready to come near to Him, to prepare themselves for an encounter with Him. Our church service always starts at 10 a.m. And at 9:55, we play the 5 minutes video to welcome people. That is actually the signal for our people to begin preparing for worship. And you know, frankly speaking, what I noticed during the 5 minutes video, when we are supposed to prepare for worship, we are talking, chit-chatting, non-stop. And then we will only stop talking when the song leader starts, "Hello, good morning." Right? By contrast, God gave Israel 2 days to prepare. 2 days to prepare. He said in Exodus, let me repeat, consecrate them today and tomorrow. So how many days? Today is the first day, tomorrow is the second day, and let them be ready for the third day. So God gave Israel 2 days to prepare. He required them to consecrate and to wash their clothes. Now, washing clothes may mean washing our clothes. But washing our clothes means washing our garments, washing our lives, consecrating our lives. These preparations were appropriate for what was about to happen. What was about to happen? God will appear. God will come down. What do we expect when we come to church on Sunday? For God to come down, to meet us. And we should be preparing for that. Like for example, if I tell you that in 3 days, God is going to appear visibly, and that He wants you to wash your clothes for that occasion, I am sure you would do it. If I announce this coming Sunday, you know, God will come, will visit, and the Shekinah glory will appear, I tell you, starting tomorrow, you will cleanse yourself already. Because you want to prepare for that. Okay? It would seem to be a significant requirement for the awesome privilege of standing in God's physical presence. Exodus 19:14 tells us that Moses did exactly as God commanded. He went down and sanctified the people. The people also obeyed by washing their clothes. They took the time to prepare for worship. Part of our preparation for worship ought to be reminding ourselves of who God is. That He is the Holy Sovereign Lord. So when we come to the house of God, we prepare to meet the Holy Sovereign Lord. Exodus 19:16 tells us, "Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled." Everybody in the camp trembled because of the presence of God. Because all of them, they prepared their hearts. So the presence of God came. And when the presence of God came, it was not just an ordinary time. It was really a powerful time because all of them trembled at the presence of God. When the trumpet sounded and the moment arrived for the people of Israel to draw near to God, every person in the camp trembled. They had fear. Because the presence of God has come. Unfortunately, few people respond to God in worship like that anymore today. Many people today come to church as if gadaw sa wala lang, without even reverence for God. Many people in the church keep going to the CR. If you go to the CR one time, I understand. But if 3-4 times, ikaw lang kadto sa CR, kaapat gid sa isa kadlaw, there is something wrong with your heart. Not in hindi lang sa imo barukan, kundi sa imo nga heart gid. I said, if you feel na do puno na gid akong barukan, how? Okay, you go. But I hope nga gapungko ka lang, wala nagadugang ang tubig sa barukan mo. Many of the so-called Christians today, when they come to worship God, when they respond to God, they don't have that fear anymore. Many have forgotten how to tremble before God because they do not regard God as holy. You know, when the priest entered the tabernacle, in the tabernacle is the Holy of Holies. Before they entered the tabernacle, they have to wash themselves, clean themselves, outward cleansing. And any priest who was tasked to go inside the Holy of Holies, I believe, was fearful. Because if there is sin in him, once he entered the Holy of Holies, he will die. He will die. That's why they said they put a rope on his waist and his legs has bells. Okay, that's what the Bible, my bells. Because while he was walking inside the Holy of Holies, as the assistant stand outside, when they can hear the bell still, you know, tinging, they know that the priest inside is alive. But when it stopped, they will pull the rope because the priest is dead. Okay? They were so afraid. When it was time for them, when it was time for a priest to enter the Holy of Holies, I believe he is trembling. He is so careful that God will not see any sin in his life. But how about us today? How about us today? Do we have the fear of God when we come into his presence? You know, pasalamat kita subong kay wala na kita nagakapatay. Because of the grace of God. But we also cannot play with the grace of God. Because we may not die physically, but spiritually, we will. If you don't have reverence before God, you may live physically, but you will die spiritually. Over and over again, God invited the people. He said, "Come near me." By those who come near me, God says, I must be regarded as holy. We are commanded by God to come into His presence, to come near to Him. Not only that, but that we may boldly come into His presence. Just like what Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The Bible tells us that we can have confidence, approach God's throne. We can approach God's throne with confidence, but this confidence does not talk about arrogance. There is a difference between coming boldly in the presence of God and coming arrogantly. When we come boldly before the presence of God, that is because despite our sins, Jesus has covered us with His blood, and we are privileged to come boldly into the presence of God. But when you come arrogantly, it's like walking inside the church, thinking about nothing. It's just like, do may utang pa bala ang Diyos sa imuhaw? Without even respect for God. That is arrogance. When we come boldly into His presence and draw near to Him, we must always remember that we are to regard Him as holy. We cannot just play with holy things. When we come to church, we regard God as holy. And when we come, before we come to church, because we are going to meet the Holy God, we prepare ourselves. We also must remember that we have no right to come into God's presence on our own. No amount of preparation that we can do is enough to make us fit to enter. It is just by the grace of God. It has been easy for many of us to coast along with shallow faith, or faith that is barely competing with the other things in our lives. We dare not keep that up now. Whether or not you believe, we are living in the last days, brothers and sisters. Things are changing in the world, and we will face challenges to our faith. We need to prepare our hearts so we will be ready to follow God no matter what. The prepared heart is a following heart. Third point, the prepared heart is a focused heart. The focus and direction of our hearts is of vital importance. We cannot just coast along thinking, I'm an okay person, so I don't really need to bother with changing. I don't need to change anything. I don't need to prepare myself. No. We are responsible for preparing, establishing, and determining the direction our lives will go and how we respond to God's Word. We are responsible to prepare, to respond to God's Word. If we are not taking action to be good grounds, it is very easy to slip into living lives that do not glorify God. We should be good grounds. Our hearts should be good grounds. Rehoboam did what was evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Rehoboam had some good points, actually. He sometimes did good. Still, when it is all added up, this is the total of it. He did what was evil. Now, there are some of us, we say, damo man ko good works ah. Pero kung once it total up ang life mo, you still did evil. You are still evil. So don't count on how many works you do. Because it is not you who judge. It is God who judges. Bisan ano kadamo ang naubra mo nga nami. When God totals up and then He says you are evil, then you are doomed. Just before the summary of Rehoboam's life, we are told that Rehoboam's mother's name was Naamah or Naamah the Ammonite. That is in chapter 12, verse 13. And Naamah the Ammonite is just one of Solomon's numerous wives. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines, for your information. And Naamah is just one of the 700. Maybe he is the 699th. But because she was an Ammonite, Naamah was an idolatrous woman. Because Solomon married so many wives, and all his wives, many of his wives, if not all, were idol worshippers. And one of those wives is Naamah, the Ammonite. And there is little wonder, kumbaga, hindi kita matingala, nga kung ang nanay evil, ang summary sang life sang bata iya would be, did what was evil. So mothers also had a direct influence on the sons, on the children's life. Because Naamah was an idolatress, therefore, her son, Rehoboam, did evil. But, The scripture does not give this as the reason Rehoboam did evil. The scripture does not say, at lang na iya kong haum-haum, but the scripture does not say that Rehoboam did evil because his mother was evil. Rehoboam did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. So children, we cannot fully blame our parents when we turn evil because that is still our own decision. Maybe your parents have influence in your life, but you still decide. He did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. He did not focus his heart on the Lord. His heart did not become a good ground. God will judge each one according to his own deeds. And if ever you were born in an ungodly parents, I just want to tell you also that there is no reason for God's grace not to begin to work in your life or in your family. Yeah, even if your parents are ungodly, God's grace can still work in that family. But it's your heart that needs to prepare to seek the Lord. It does not say Rehoboam did evil because he was of a vicious temperament, or because he had strong passions, or because he was a thoroughly bad fellow. No, he was not that. But he did evil because of something he did not do. Rehoboam became evil because of something he did not do. What did he not do? He did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. He did not begin life by seeking God, and therefore he began it foolishly. He began well, and in the first 3 years of his reign, the nation worshiped God, but they began worshiping in groves instead of coming to the temple at Jerusalem. Worse than that, they set up images and idolatrous pillars. Yet, what happened? Rehoboam did not trouble himself about that. He did not care that the people were worshiping idols. When the people feared God, he was willing for them to do so. Okay, you worship God, you fear God, okay, do it. But if they followed other gods, he will not do anything. He will say, okay, just continue. He was, after all, a young ruler who thought the principal business of a king was to enjoy himself. For as long as I enjoy myself, you do what you want to do. He didn't care. We see how readily Rehoboam went first toward God, then toward idols, and then back again toward God. He was always ready to shift and change. He worked no great reforms in the land. That means he is like the president of the Philippines who does nothing for the land. He was a king, but he did nothing to reform the land. There was nothing real and permanent in his belief. His belief did not hold him. Yes, he held it sometimes, but his belief never held him. In contrast to Rehoboam's example, we have someone like Ezra. Ezra is the opposite of Rehoboam. Rehoboam did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. But Ezra, in Ezra 7:10, tells us, "For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord, and to teachings, its decrees and laws in Israel." Ezra was the opposite of Rehoboam. Rehoboam had no desire for God. Ezra studied and observed the law. Rehoboam didn't care for Israel. Ezra taught the decrees and laws of God to Israel. We need to be careful and diligent, brothers and sisters, to break up the unplowed ground, our unplowed heart in our lives and our hearts, to be sure we never forget God's word or let it depart from our hearts. The Bible tells us that the seed that fell on good ground, what happened? It grew. And it bears more fruits. 30, 60, 100 folds. That should be our lives. But when we don't prepare our hearts like that good soil, the seed of the word will never grow. It will be snatched. It will be stolen by the enemy. Don't let the word of God depart from your heart. Prepare your heart to be a good ground in order to seek the Lord. Hosea chapter 10 verse 12, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 9 also tells us, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Brothers and sisters, honestly, our hearts need breaking and cleaning. Our hearts need plowing. There are so many distractions going around that enter and harden our hearts. We need to break up the unplowed ground and seek the Lord. We need to prepare our heart and seek the Lord, cultivating a heart where God's word can sink in, take root, and grow. Our hearts need focus. Focus on the seed. Focus on the word. And our hearts need to be good ground. We need to weed distractions. Pull the weeds of distractions out of our lives to make room for God's character to flourish in us. We must dig ourselves into His truths and cultivate a relationship with Him that will sustain us through trials. How we start our Christian life does not usually matter. It is how we end. And the end is often determined by how we live. Rehoboam failed in the end because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. And our human tendency is to become evil because we also do not prepare our hearts to seek the Lord. You know, we would rather seek other things and pleasures. That is because we are humans and are sinners by nature. We have heart issues. Our hearts are not fixed. Our hearts do not follow. Our hearts are not focused. Because Isaiah 53:6a tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's us. But the question is this, is it possible for our hearts to seek the Lord? Is it possible? Though difficult, because our hearts can fail us. But it is possible. It is still possible to seek the Lord. The Bible mentions Ezra, who had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord. And he also taught its decrees and laws in Israel, because he purposely prepared his heart to observe the law. Remember, Ezra was in captivity. But when he returned to Jerusalem, he sought God. And maybe before he returned to Jerusalem, he was already seeking God. So Ezra is one of our examples here that shows the possibility that we can still seek the Lord. We can still prepare our hearts. But we have one greater than Ezra, who in himself is the law. And in him all the law is fulfilled. He did not have to be guided by the law, because in him was no sin. We have the law to guide us. But he does not need the law, because there was no law to guide him. He had no sin. Jesus, the Son of God, who came 2,000 years ago, he came as the fulfillment of the law for the sake of men. We always do not fulfill the law, but Jesus came to fulfill the law for our sake. The Bible tells us he went about doing good and not evil. Acts 10:38 tells us, "And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Jesus came to teach men how to seek God. He taught his disciples how to pray the Lord's Prayer. In his life, he taught his disciples how to seek God, how to approach God. And he himself did not fail to seek the Father. Yet, he offered himself to die on the cross, so that when he said, "It is finished," the issue of men, which is not seeking the Lord, is finished. It's done, because it is paid. We always have this failure to seek God. But then, Jesus, who does not need the law, because he knows how to seek God, he died on the cross for our sake. Isaiah 53:6b tells us, "And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." What is that iniquity? Failure. What is that sin? Failure to seek God. But Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. Therefore, the issue of being evil can be overcome. You cannot say you were born from a bad family and you become like them. You remain bad. Hindi tungkol kay evil ang ginikanan mo, evil ka man, no. Jesus rose from the dead so that ang ina nga issue nga evil ang imo ginhalinan ma-overcome mo. You will overcome that evil. And we can have a changed heart. For our sake, Jesus has fulfilled what we cannot, what we could not, and what we did not fulfill. And he gives us the power, not just to fulfill, but to overcome. In conclusion, sin is in the heart of man. Even without temptation around, man has sins. Man is a sinner. And our deeds can become evil when we do not prepare our hearts to seek the Lord. We have a natural tendency to fail because we are easily distracted. We may not commit big crimes, but even small crimes, when they are not arrested, we will fall out of God's favor and will bring us to our own destruction. The Bible tells us, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." in seeking the Lord, we need to fix our hearts. It means we need to repair, and it means we need to keep it steady. In seeking the Lord, we need to follow God and His Word. And when we seek the Lord, we need to focus on God in the midst of all the distractions around. All these are the preparations of the heart. We need that. But of course, as human, as man, we fail. But we have someone who came in to fulfill what we have failed to fulfill. And He gives us the power to overcome evil. Jesus, the Son of God, who loves us and gave Himself for us. And we also have the Holy Spirit. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to take over our hearts, because there is always something wrong with this heart. This heart is always distracted. Rehoboam is a tragedy. The son of the wisest king to ever live. But he lost his way because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Our lives will definitely become like his when we continually do not seek God. So now is the time to prepare. Now is the time to restart. Today, the grace of God to forgive is here. If you think you failed to seek God, now is the time to start or restart. If you feel like evil is trying to overtake you, now is the time to seek refuge. Come to the one who overcame, Jesus. Brothers and sisters, let us remember this. He did evil. Rehoboam did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Nobody wants to become evil. Nobody wants to become evil. The more we try not to become evil, the more we incline to become evil. That is because we don't prepare our hearts to seek the Lord. Shall we all just bow our heads?